Last session today on building a New Testament church, as we're looking today at major passages that present to us a true New Testament church. And the last one we want to look at tonight is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What a church. Now we could have spent the whole day easily on this passage and barely begun to deal with it actually. A ministering body church. It's a serious church. And we're talking about sober kind of serious. We're talking about Christ's ascension, verse 10. Context. Ascension, Christ's ascension. That's serious business. He rose from the dead, ascended up to sit at the right hand of the Father on high where he is today. That's serious business. Perfecting, verse 12. Perfecting, that's a serious kind of word. The body of Christ, verse 12. That's a serious kind of concept. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a serious concept there. Growing, no more children. That's serious. Children aren't serious, but we're not supposed to be children. We're supposed to grow to be no more children. That's serious. Growing up unto him in all things. That's a very serious concept. We're talking about very serious church. Sober-minded. Not light, flippant, or shallow. Anything but serious church. We don't see fun and games here. No entertainment program here. No lukewarm, half-hearted Christianity here. Don't see it. It's not here. It's not New Testament Christianity. It's not a New Testament church. There's no mixed multitude here in which a small part of the church is serious. Just a small part serious. That's not what we see here. We see a serious body. What? The whole body. The whole body. A serious, the whole body serious. The whole body working, the whole body ministering, the whole body growing. Not just some little part of the church. This is not a mixed multitude kind of church. This is an every joint, every part church contributing. This is a New Testament church. This and nothing less is a New Testament church. It's a church that's a body of saints, verse 12. What is that? Living stones? Because when you're born, you're not a saint. You have to be born again to be a saint. What is that? A regenerate church membership. Everywhere we see, it's always a regenerate church membership because you can't have any kind of church like this without having a regenerate church membership. It's the fundamental of fundamentals. It's a church with the right leaders, we see in verse 11, because without the right leaders, we cannot possibly have these kind of churches. It's impossible, which is why I pray for 1,000 special kind of preachers today. I personally do. It's my personal prayer. My personal times of prayer. It's a serious prayer. It's a passionate prayer. It's a prayer that is dependent on an almighty God. Because I know that we need these churches, and I know that without the right preachers, we will never have these churches. And that's where Paul starts with these men in verse 11. These God called, these gifted men, ministry gifted men. We know that apostles and prophets we don't have now. They existed at that time when Paul was writing, but we don't have them now, and certainly not in the sense that they existed then. But we do have evangelists and pastors and teachers, and those are the men that we need. pastors and teachers. It's two different positions. It's not one word in Greek, it's two different words. We see teams of men everywhere in the scriptures, and that's what Paul is talking about here. These are God-called leaders. He gave. There is a calling. The ministry is a calling. It's a divine calling. He gave. God has to give these men. We cannot possibly call these men, create these men. Ordination is simply a recognition of God's call. That's all we can do. And help and educate these men. I can educate these men, but I can't create them. And I can't call them. These are God-called men. Paul said to the elders at Ephesus that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Acts 20:28. Who made them? Holy Spirit. The ministry is a divine calling. This ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. We see here for the perfecting of the saints. The very next verse, verse 12. That's it in a nutshell. That's the ministry in a nutshell. Perfecting means to finish, to make complete. Make it fully ready. Set it up. Establish it. Put a thing in the appropriate condition. Paul used the imagery of building a house. 1 Corinthians 3. Church. Metaphor. House. Building a house. Paul said, I, as a master builder, laid the foundation. Yes, he did a great job. Master builder. Called himself a master builder. He was a master builder. We need builders. Men that can build these houses. They have to be built. A house has to be built. We've never seen a house that wasn't built. And you've never seen a church that wasn't built. Houses have to be built. I think of my stepfather, and they need to be finished. My stepfather was a house builder, but he never finished anything. He would finish it enough to move into. And that's the way it stayed. No, that's not enough. We're talking about perfecting, completing. Serious business. How do we perfect the saints? Well, it's all right here. Every single part of perfecting the saints is here in this exact context. How? By preparing the saints for the work of the ministry. Verse 12. By preparing the saints for the work of the ministry. Huge work to be done for God in this world. Huge, massive work. Big work to be done. God has big business in this world. God's business is the biggest business, but God has big business. Preaching the gospel is the biggest business on earth. Most important. Discipling the believers, perfecting them, equipping them, and all the other parts of the New Testament church, that's huge business. That's big business. That's every hand on deck business. It's not one or two or three in the church working. Most of the churches I've known in my life, a handful work, and the rest are doing I don't know what. They're not working. They're observing. But that's not a New Testament church. That's never been a New Testament church. Big work. Everybody having a part of the ministry and the leaders preparing all of the members for that ministry. The leaders are the principals of the Bible Institute. They're the overseers of the church as the headquarters for world evangelism. Big business. Very big business. Superintendents of the spiritual armory to equip the saints for warfare. Serious business. Big business. It's exciting business. It means every member has a serious part in this thing. And the leader's part is to equip them, every single one of them, for that ministry that they have, that God has given them as living stones, and God has put them in a certain place in the body. Big, exciting, wonderful, but big business here. The perfecting of the saints is to edify the church, verse 12. Build it up to produce a spiritual people. One pastor said recently that he wants a crockpot type of church, not a microwave. That's pretty good. It's talking about microwave is instant, you know, but that's not how it works. No, this is a simmering, kind of long-term, growing thing through the right kind of atmosphere. Crockpot, you know, it just simmers. You can't have a good roast with a microwave. It requires simmering. The perfecting of the saints to edify the church. The perfecting of the saints means to bring the church to the unity of the faith, verse 14. Unity of the faith. The church is to be united, truly united. Truly united. How united? Paul found out that there were two women at Philippi. They were named by name. How would you like your name named tonight? Yodius and Syntyche. Paul was a name-namer. He didn't speak in any kind of generalities. Well, he named them in this epistle to everybody. This epistle was to everybody. They weren't getting along properly. And so they were dealt with. How there's to be no divisions. None. If there is division, it's to be addressed. It's not to be neglected. It's not to become the status quo. No cliques. It's not to be allowed. Unity, true unity. True unity. Unity of mind. Unity of doctrine. Unity of heart and soul. Unity of purpose and goal. True unity. That's the New Testament church. It's not every man for himself. No such thing. We're members of a body.
That's right.
I'm a very private person. I'm the only boy in my family. I had three sisters. I was the oldest child. I had all that against me as far as being a public kind of person. I always had my own room. And I'm a very private person. But I'm not saved to be private. I'm saved to be part of a body. I have to come out of myself and think of others and be a part of something a lot bigger than me and what I want to do. I have to do that. And you have to do that. Like singing songs. It's been a joy to hear the uplifting of voices. That tells me something about the spiritual character of the people. And some people say, well, I don't like to sing. Well, the singing's not about you. It's not about you. We're singing one to another and unto the Lord. It's not about me. It's about me. I get to enjoy this and be edified with, but it's not about me. It's about something much bigger than me. The perfecting of the saints is to bring the church to the unity of the faith. The perfecting of the saints means, verse 13, to bring the church to the perfect man. Perfect man. And always, in all these passages, we've seen this goal of this perfecting, the perfection, to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect. A perfect man. That's the fullness of Christ. It never ends in this world. It won't end in this world. It will never be the fullness of Christ in this world. No New Testament church is the fullness of Christ truly, only positionally. But that's our goal. That's our goal. That must be the pastor's goal, perfecting. This is the beginning of the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. God's eternal plan, which is, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. There, God tells us his eternal plan. He tells us that in the fullness of times, which hasn't come yet, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Everything that's not in Christ won't be there. Everything that's not in Christ won't be there. Nothing that's outside of Christ will be there. All things will be in Christ. And this is the beginning of that. The church's goal. And we're the first fruits of this. This is big stuff. This is really, really big. And God has told us about these things. Because he wants us to know these things. He wants us to meditate on these things. I want our young people to meditate on these things. I want every child to meditate on these things as far as it's possible. Because from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to bring thee to salvation. And this is Scripture. And all of these things are Scripture. So they need to be meditating on these things, even though they won't understand these things yet, till they're born again. And so, to bring them to a perfect man. The perfecting of the saints. We read in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's our goal. That's the perfection. Won't be achieved in this life, but we're to pursue it in this life. To pursue it passionately. Pursue it. And that's the church's objective. Big stuff. The perfecting of the saints, verse 14, means to bring the church to spiritual maturity so that the members are no longer children. No longer children. A church of perpetual children is not God's will. And it is not a New Testament church. A church of perpetual children. The leaders must never be content with such a church. Amen. Perpetual children. That's mostly what kind of churches I've ever seen. It's a church that's largely perpetual children. And pastors are content with that. Perpetual children. How could you possibly be content with that? Because they'd rather have a church than a New Testament church. Just some kind of church. Well, that's no kind of church. A church of perpetual children. What if these children never grew? They're cute little children. But what if they never grew? How horrible that would be. How stupid that would be. How terrible that would be. They never grow. And I come back in 2-3 years or whatever. And there they are, the same little kids. Oh, how weird that would be. How shocking. No, we come back and they grow up. 3 or 4 years and wow, what's happened here? They've grown. But spiritually, what's happening? That's right. That's the way it needs to be.
That's right.
Come back in 2 years. Whoa, the growth.
Amen.
The spiritual growth.
That's right.
Look at the people growing. Amen. Wow, how you've grown. Spiritually, how you've grown,
Amen.
We should be saying.
That's right.
What a much greater husband you are today than you were 2 years ago. Wow, what a much more godly wife you are today than you were 2 years ago. Yeah, growing. It means to bring the church to spiritual maturity so that the members are no longer children. Let me give you a test. Hebrews, I love this passage. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. A church that's no longer children. You say, I'm not a child. I'm 50 years old. Really? Let's give you a test. I've been saved 10 years. Good. Let's give you a test. Hebrews chapter 5. This is God's test, not mine. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Here's a test of whether you're still a baby or you are spiritually mature. Hebrews 5, verse 12, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. He's a baby. If you're not skillful in the word of righteousness, you're a baby. I don't care how many years you've been saved. You might have been saved 40 years. If you're not skillful in the word of righteousness, God says, you are a baby. Baby. That's what God says. Now that's a serious test. A man told me today that he had taken my Bible knowledge test and failed it. This is skillful. Skillful is a serious word. Skillful is a serious level of Bible knowledge. God uses the word skillful. So you can ask yourself, are you skillful in the word of righteousness? Could we give you a test tonight? Let's bring you up here and give you a test, a Bible knowledge test. What would happen to you? Well, that's a biblical question. It must be the question. The goal is that we bring all of God's people out of childhood. That's where you start, as newborn babes. But to bring them out of childhood, which requires many things, and one thing is to become skillful in the word of righteousness. And that is our serious goal in our churches. It's that every member, starting with the teenagers especially, that they will be skillful in the word of righteousness. Skillful, serious Bible students. Well, that must be the goal. But not only that, it says in verse 14, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Senses exercised. We know about exercise, but this time as spiritual senses, to know good and evil. That's not allowed in society today. But God says it's a necessary part of biblical Christianity. To take the word of God and to weigh everything by it, test everything by it, measure everything by it. That's good. That's evil. That's right. That's wrong. Who are you to judge? Nobody. I have the word of God. That's how you grow. That's exercising of the spiritual senses by reason of use. Day by day, week by week, month by month, becoming skillful in the word of God and then weighing everything in my life by the word of God. It's the way of protection. It's the way of growth. It's the way of spiritual maturity. God says it. Serious New Testament Christianity. The perfecting of the saints means to protect the church from spiritual danger, verse 14. The New Testament church is aware of spiritual danger and is aggressively protecting itself from it. Yeah, that means naming names of dangerous people. Absolutely it does. Protecting them, caring about them, protecting them, aggressively protecting itself. And more and more, the hour's getting late. The Bible tells us that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, 2 Timothy 3:13. Worse and worse. So it's going to get worse. Yeah, but in the midst of this, because I know where I am because of Bible prophecy, I know where we are. That's a wonderful thing to know where you are in time and where the world is. And well, it's in apostasy. That's where it is. Sure. And so more and more, we need warning, protection. We need men that can protect God's people. That's what I tried to do. That's the only thing I tried to do. That's just trying to help somebody, try to protect somebody. It aims not to be tossed about by any wind of doctrine. No wind of doctrine. Winds, blowing. All these winds. Documentary theories of the Bible. Darwinian evolution, theistic evolution, the papacy, the mass, sacramentalism, Mariolatry, the saints, liberation theology, Augustinian sovereign election. It was invented by Augustine, not Calvin. Progressive salvation, Unitarianism, Jesus only, social gospel, denial of Christ's virgin birth, denial of the infallible inspiration of Scripture, Sabbath keeping, vegetarianism, judge notism, ecumenism, in essentials, unityism. Cultural liberalism, replacement theology, amillennialism, quick prayerism, repentance defined merely as turning from unbelief to belief. That's an ism. Contemplative prayer, tongue speaking, because it's not tongue speaking. I was led to Christ by a Pentecostal, and so I was prejudiced toward speaking in tongues and such as a brand new Christian. I had no prejudice against it, had no reason to be prejudiced against it. Was not an independent Baptist, had never even met, I don't think, an independent Baptist yet at that time. Led to Christ by a godly Pentecostal. So I began to study that out. What's this tongue saying? Well, it's a big thing. It's speaking miraculously a language you've never learned. That is big stuff. Because it's really hard even to learn a language. But to just start speaking fluent anything that you've never learned, that's a serious miracle. And then to be able to interpret a language that you've never heard, that's seriously miraculous.
That's right.
That is not what's going on in Pentecostal.
That's right.
I've studied it out. I have been there. I've gone to the meetings. I've looked and looked and looked in those early days. What they're speaking is shalalama balalama. But I can do that. So that's not a miracle.
That's right.
And actually they say you, no. No, this is, we're talking about intelligent people that are deceived. They can teach you how to do it. That means it's not a miracle. No, seriously. So that's nonsense. So that's heresy. But it's very dangerous and it's very appealing. Multitudes of intelligent people are deceived by that thing. More intelligent than you are. It's true. Multitudes. We don't have the multitudes. They do have the multitudes. Speaking nonsense. I've heard them do it. Hundreds of times at the conferences I've attended with press credentials. Every wind of doctrine that's blowing and blowing and blowing, vegetarianism, judge notism, LGBT Christianity, entire sanctification, reconstructionism, kingdom now. There's independent Baptist teaching that. I showed it this afternoon. Save the earth, kingdom now. Female preachers. Beth Moore, contemporary worship with its illicit mixture of Christ and the world. Oh my, winds of doctrine. Winds are blowing. Where's all this stuff? Everywhere.
That's
right. Said, never heard of this stuff. Well, it's out there. That's everywhere, right. blowing.
That's right.
We have to protect all of the saints and every generation is coming up.
Right.
Oh, it's going to get worse for them.
Mm.
But we can protect them.
Amen.
And that's what we must aim to do.
That's right.
So that's a lot of teaching and a lot of protection and a lot of information and a lot of study on the part of the preacher to keep up with things and be able to protect the people.
That's right.
Big, big task. The church, it's a church with the right leaders. And then it's a church that is an edifying body, verse 16. That one verse, Ephesians 4:16. An edifying body from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh my, the church that is an edifying body. Every member, an important part. Every single member, an important part. Essential part. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The body is to be fitly joined together and compacted. There's a serious unity. Serious unity. United in God's spirit and by in God's will. Compacted. Every joint supplying the effectual working of the measure of every part. This is not a church with just a pastor. This is a body. It's a functional body. It's not a church where everybody's the same. We started with leaders. But it's a church that's a serious body and operates as a serious body. Every member supplying his part into that one body. Supplying his part. It's the one another ministry that's described all through the New Testament. One another, one another, one another. Biblical pastor wants this body. He wants it. He wants to help it. He wants to perfect it. But he wants it. I know churches that just are like, all they are is a head. That's a strange body. If you're just a head, you're a strange body because you can't do anything. You can't walk. If you're just a head, how weird you are. No, the head is, there are heads. But it's not just a head. It's a body with every member functioning and supplying. The leader's part is to build up the members so they can do what God has called them to do. Every member has a function in the body. Every member's not of equal function. We talked about the man that cut off his thumb. You can live without a thumb, poor thumb, but you can live without a thumb. Not all parts of the body are of equal importance, but you don't choose what part of the body you are. I don't choose that. But every member is important. We see this here. Every member functioning part of the body. Some are leaders, not all are leaders. There's that error today. It's a very big error. Who's that man think he is? Well, he's a pastor. Yeah, but who does he think he is to tell me what to do? He's a pastor. He's a biblical pastor. Who do you think you are not to do what he tells you to do if it's scriptural? Because God says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. And that's a willingness to be led. Show me that it's right, pastor. I'm ready. I want to be led. So yeah, there's leaders, but it's a body. This is a real body. The members are placed in the body according to God's will. The body is to increase. There ought to be growth. I believe in growth. I don't believe in little churches that are dead. Sometimes a church has to be, you know, if it's in a super hard place, like some parts of Australia, and the soil is just really, really hard, maybe it won't grow very much. I know that. In some places, the church is going to grow more than others with the same amount of effort. Ah, but there's got to be growth. God wants there to be growth. Increase. That body needs to be growing. Growing. Increasing. That's God's blessing, God's will. I believe God will help us. I believe if we sow plenty seed, God will help us and save people. I really believe that. If we're busy, if we really are busy like God tells us to be, hard workers in the vineyard, I believe God will give us fruit and growth. And we pray and we cry out to God and we want fruit and we seek fruit. I think we'll get fruit. Amen. I really believe that. I don't believe in little dead dying churches. Right. I don't want to be a part of a little dead dying church. Right. Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't want to be. Amen. Yeah, some places are hard and the growth's going to be small, but let's see some growth. Amen. And if we don't, let's just be passionate about it till we get it. Amen. And not content with it.
That's right.
If your kids are not growing, you're going to get serious. And if a church is not growing, we ought to get that serious. God, help us. Give us fruit.
Amen.
Increasing, it says increasing. Edifying itself in love. Love must be the major focus of the believer's life in this world. Love. 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 Before I was saved, one of my sisters said, David doesn't love anybody. One of my sisters. I think she was right. Close to it. Oh my. Yeah, but I was lost. Love. Love. Getting out of yourself. Love. Edifying itself in love. Loving your wife. If you can't love your wife, you can't love anybody. You say, you don't know my wife. No, I don't. But you married her. Love your husband. Love your children. Love your brethren. Love your pastor. Love. Love the lost. Love. It's a matter of growing. Charity is the end of that growth process in 2 Peter 1. But that's our objective. This is the type of church requires absolute heart level commitment and faithfulness. This is a serious group of people here. And not one or two or three. This whole church is a serious church that we see here. Every service of such a church is carefully designed to build up the body. Every member is a necessary part. Just coming to the services is serious business. To come to pray. To come to participate in the song service, prepared for it. Ready to participate in it. Not just, you know, engaged. Engaged. It's God's business. Churches that people don't attend the prayer meetings. Most churches I go to, people don't attend the prayer meetings. They don't even attend the prayer meetings. I think of a church that has 600 people every service. 600 that I preach at. And they have a men's prayer meeting before the service. And you know how many men are there? About 6 or 7. That's not a New Testament church. Really? Coming to get from the preaching and teaching everything that's there for me. Focused. Not allowing myself to be distracted. That's my business. Listening carefully. Capturing things. It's like that. It's practical things. Taking notes. Hearing the message is God's word. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. But I've got to receive it as the oracles of God. What can I change, Lord? I'm ready to change. Show me something to change today. Discussing the message with your family, with your children, and helping them get something and helping them learn how to listen. Children can listen if they want to, and we have to teach them all of these things. From the fellowship, not just coming to get something for me. That's how most people choose churches. Get something for me, but to encourage and build up the brethren, to minister to the visitors. Amen. I am often a visitor in churches, and people are not friendly to visitors, usually. They're not. It's lonely, and they're all in their little cliques and stuff, and even during the shaking hand time, I'm glad you don't have a shaking hand time, because it's not for visitors. I don't know who it's for. It's to visit with your friends. But the visitor stands there very lonely. Come to minister to the visitors. Everybody ought to minister to the visitors. To minister to the brethren. Oh, this is serious Christianity. To me, this is exciting Christianity. Your typical kind of church does not excite me at all. But this does. This attracts my attention. I believe this could be exciting for young people that are saved. If they're saved, they can get excited about this. Amen. Building a New Testament church begins with knowing what is a New Testament church. Amen. And here it is. Not by looking around at what other churches are doing. Here it is.
Amen.
Right here.
Amen.
God bless you.